Good evening. It's good to see everyone here, and if you happen to be visiting with us, we're certainly happy to come our way. As has been mentioned, Jeff's out of town this week, and so it afforded an opportunity for someone else to preach. Here I am. You know, it's one of those things that you think, this is something you really need to do, and you anticipate it, and then when it comes, like you, I can't wait till it's over. You know, for those of us that have gotten the privilege of listening to Randy preach so often recently, it's been a great honor because Randy, I call Randy a wordologist. Randy can take words and he can make them come alive, and he gets you into the depth of the Bible with them. And it's just marvelous. It really is. Now, I'm nowhere near that. But there are a couple of words that I want to start out with to look at and to get an understanding of before we get into the meat of my sermon. The first of these is the word want. Definition: have a desire to possess or do something, wish for. A lack of deficiency of something, a desire for something. I want a steak, medium, baked potato, fully loaded, no chives. Nice big ear of corn, butter dripping off of it. Supper time, right? For drink, I want a Sonic Diet Dr. Pepper with cherry and vanilla. Sounds good, right? That's what I want. But think about the word want, because we use that a lot. I want this, I want that. But what does it really mean? It's a desire to possess or do, but how much of a desire? Hit the wrong button? What about need? Have you really stopped to think about the word need as opposed to want? Well, need require something because it is essential or very important. Expressing necessity or obligation. Circumstances in which something is necessary or that requires some course of action. It's something that's necessary. It's something we need. It's something that's essential to our lives or our well-being. It's a need. And I want us to really think about those too. So, if I'm hungry, do I need a steak and potatoes and corn? No. I need food to survive. Do I need a Sonic Diet Dr. Pepper? No, I need water to survive. It's important that we recognize when we use words how important these words are. Words shape the way we think. It can even shape our character. We think of words as verbal communication, but again, stop and think. As you think, what's going through your mind? Words. Words are what causes us to act and react. So it's important that we ingrain within ourselves the right words for what we want to do, for what we want to get across to others, for how we want to live. And so I recently taught a Bible class. It was called When Jesus Returns. And it's amazing when you teach a class or preach how much more you get out of that class as a teacher or preaching, participating in some way. You get so much more out of it. And that class really, really got me to thinking about some things. One of those things is heaven. When Jesus comes, I want to go to heaven? No, I need to go to heaven. And I think it's a stark difference, because if I had started out this sermon and asked everybody in this congregation, do you want to go to heaven, including me, I would have raised my hand. Because it's a natural reaction, because we all want to go to heaven. But if we really stop and consider what that word means, is it strong enough? Does it really impress upon ourselves how much we need to go to heaven? And so I got to thinking about this, and I'm sure there are a lot of you in this audience that are much further along than I am, and already have come to this conclusion. But I realized that I was going through life too much wanting to go to heaven and not acting enough as if I need to go to heaven. And so I wrote this sermon for me. And I hope you get something out of it too. Did I keep it in the wrong button? So, meat of my lesson. Three reasons I need to go to heaven. Three reasons I need to go to heaven. I didn't choose three just to do like other preachers. There actually is three reasons. Reason number three. There is a hell. There is a hell. The people in the world today do not want to admit there's a hell. Matter of fact, I venture to say that most of the religious world today will not admit that there's a hell. They don't want to scare their congregation off. They don't want to scare people off. It's not a subject we like to talk about. It's not a subject anybody likes to talk about. What's interesting is Jesus talks probably as much about hell as he does heaven. We even have members, people who call themselves a member of the Lord's church, that may try to convince you someday that there's no hell. That one day God is just simply going to annihilate those who don't get to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. I don't understand how they come to that conclusion, because the Bible is pretty explicit about hell. We also don't like to talk about dying. But you know, if God talks about it, we need to talk about it. If God teaches on it, we need to teach on it. And we need to meditate on it. There's a reason that God talks about hell. It's a bad place. We're supposed to fear it. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 10:28. Let me tell you, there are so many verses on hell, you could spend several sermons on it. But we're only going to look at a few. Matthew 10:28. And this is Jesus talking. And do not fear those that kill, that who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Our fear is not of people, and yet we let it in. We let that fear abide in us. You know, Satan can tempt us. Satan can't make us do anything. Satan cannot send us to hell. Only we can do that to ourselves. God gives us the pathway. God gives us the way to avoid hell. I need to go to heaven because I need to avoid hell. It's an ugly place. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Think about what this verse says. Does it say only murderers are going to hell? Does it say that only really, really bad people are going to hell? No. What it says is flaming fire taking vengeance on those, one, who do not know God. Two, those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are going to be a lot of people we think of as good people that are going to go to hell. And it's sad. It's unfortunate. Because they are good people from the worldly sense, but they don't obey God. I don't want to be one of those people. I need to know what God wants me to do, and I need to do it. I need to stay on the pathway that he's given me so that I can avoid hell. As I said, we need to fear hell. We need to keep that in our minds. When we're making decisions, when we talk about words and how they shape us and how we do things because of words, hell should be in our mind when we're trying to make certain decisions and we're debating, should I or shouldn't I? Is it worth going to hell over? That's one of the questions we need to ask ourselves. Matthew 25, verse 30, 41, 46. There's a lot more in that set of contexts you can read about, but those are the three I picked out. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Then these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You know, I've had a lot of people try to describe everlasting, describe eternity. We as humans can't really comprehend that. You realize God made time for our benefit, not for his. A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day with God. Time is of relevance only to us. When you talk about eternity, the best way I can think of it, it's kind of like asking someone who went fishing and says, I caught a fish this big and only uses one hand. Was it this big, this big? You don't know. But with eternity, it'll never end. Can you imagine being in torment for all of eternity with no hope? You know, one of the other things we talked about in my Bible class was that when Jesus returns, the dead are going to be lifted up, and then the living in God, Christ, will be lifted up, and there's going to be those left behind. And what the world wants you to believe is that those left behind are going to get a second chance. Well, let me tell you, we are already living our second chance. God gave man the Garden of Eden, and what did we do? We gave it away. We sinned. And God kicked man out of the garden. But Christ came. Christ came and gave us our second chance. He came down as a man, lived on this earth, died a death on the cross that was cruel, and bled and shed his blood for us and took our sins away. That's our second chance. There are no third. We are living it. I need to go to heaven. There's no other option. I can't think of another option. It's got to be heaven or nothing. Because what it is hell. Have you ever hurt so bad that you had to bite down on something to try to just bear through the pain? I've had stones a couple of times. And I think about that sometimes, and I think, man, hell's going to be so much worse than that. And there's not going to be any relief. At least with a kidney stone, every once in a while, it kind of lets up and you get a little relief. There's no relief. It's forever. I need to go to heaven so that I can avoid hell. Number two reason I need to go to heaven. Because there is a heaven. There is a heaven. We have a place for us. A place that one day will be ours. Again, forever. For all of eternity. And I need to go there. John 14:1-3. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Again, this is Jesus talking. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Jesus himself, our Lord and Savior, has gone to prepare a place for me. For me. Why in the world wouldn't I do anything and everything to get there? In Revelation 21:3-5. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more sorrow nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. How beautiful is that? And God finishes it off with, these words are true and faithful. We can depend on it. We absolutely have it. He has offered it to us. And if we don't get to heaven, it's because we didn't take it. You know, I don't think anyone sitting in this audience has not at one time gone through emotional stress or de-stress. We all do. It could be for a whole host of reasons, but we all suffer emotionally. It could be our children. It could be our parents. It could be our friends. It could be things people say about us. It could be work. I don't care what it is. We all go through emotional stress. And many of us have a lot of physical issues. You know, when I first started coming to this congregation 36 years ago, our average age was pretty young. I was one of the young ones. I'm not young anymore. I'm not as old as many, but I'm not young anymore. I realize that. And my body doesn't do the same things it used to do. And I've had surgeries, and I've had many things that have gone wrong. But you know what? It's just a body. Someday this body is going to give way. We have people who struggle mentally for a variety of reasons. I deal with it. Others deal with it. But the bottom line is, we have hope and we have a vision of a time to come when none of us will have to worry about any of those things. They're going to go away. When we're in heaven with God, He will wipe away our tears. I want that. I want that. In Revelations 21, 9 through 27, and we're not going to read the whole thing, it has a description of heaven. And us being human, God describes it in a way that we can try to understand, to some extent, the grandeur and beauty of heaven. And I'm sure most of us here have at one time read through it, heard it preached about. But we need to remember that. We need to keep that in our thoughts. As we go through our lives and we're making decisions and we're trying to decide, do I, don't I, where do I go, what do I do, what's important? We need to keep that in our minds. Keep the words of heaven in our minds so that we make the right choices and we do the right things. And when we fail, and we will fail, we get right back up. We don't stay down. We get up. I did write down a couple of the verses. Verse 23. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those. Who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, there are some religious groups that want to tell you that once you're saved, you're always saved. Talking about on this earth. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you accept Christ, you no longer have to fear failing or going to hell. I don't believe that. But I will tell you this, I believe when I get to heaven, I will never again have to worry about those things. Have you ever thought about the fact that when you get to heaven, there will be no more temptation? There will be no more pull by someone to try to get you to do the wrong thing. There will be nobody or anything pulling you, trying to get you off the pathway because you are already there. And you are God's and He is yours. You never again have to worry about failing or falling or stumbling. We're there forever. The number one reason why I need to go to heaven. Because that is what God is. If for no other reason than that, I need to go to heaven. I need to go and be with God. You see, there's something I didn't really mention a lot when I talked about hell. Do you realize what is not going to be in hell besides us? God. In that eternal darkness, and that eternal pain and suffering, when He closes up Satan and his horde with us, or with those who end up there, and He seals it off, He is not there. Even today, as we live on this earth, God's presence is here. It may not be like it'll be in heaven, but He is here. His presence is here. We can pray to Him. We can talk to Him. In hell, it's over. There's no hope. There's no God. Revelations 22, 3 through 5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. I need to go to heaven. I need to be with God. To do that, I have to do the right things. I have to think the right way. I have to be the right type of person. This church. God had the wisdom to make a local congregation of God's people for a reason. I can't save you. You can't save me. But I can certainly help you go to heaven. And you can help me. Look around you. This is our real family. The family of God. And I want you to understand something. We cannot let anything or anybody stand in our pathway of going to heaven. Because if we can't save ourselves, how are we going to save them? We can't let a spouse, a child, a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a friend, a peer. We can't let anybody pull us off the road to salvation and drag us with them to hell, because in hell we're not going to do them any good and we're not going to make them feel any better, and we certainly aren't. And you can never influence someone to do the right thing if you're not doing it yourself. But as a family here, It is our duty and obligation to help one another, to love one another. We need to put aside any anger we may have towards somebody. We need to put aside any bickering, any gossiping, any of the things, any divisiveness. We need to put those aside. And as a family of God, we need to come together and we need to love one another and we need to pull ourselves up and help pull each other up. I need you to hold me accountable. If you see me doing or saying the wrong thing or acting the wrong way, I need you to tell me. And regardless of how you tell me, it's my obligation to take that and consider it and do better. Because I need to go to heaven. Well, there are those in this audience that are not Christians. The other thing I want you to realize, if you've heard what I said tonight, if you understand it, if you comprehend it, if you understand the importance of Jesus Christ being the Son of God, coming on this earth, dying on the cross, understand that without Christ, you're lost. If you understand that, then you need to be baptized. You need to become a child of God so that you too can go to heaven. If you are a Christian and you're struggling, as we all do, but maybe you've allowed yourself to be pulled off that pathway. Maybe you've been just let yourself down and you want to make it right. You have a chance. Even if you're a Christian that is on the pathway but you're struggling, maybe you just need your family to know that you're struggling, that you need our prayers, that you need our help. That's okay too. But if you have any need, please come as we stand and sing.